Okay. So the topic that we're going to be learning over the next 5 weeks is the topic of Torah study for Gentiles. And it's a topic which is surprising on its face, because without any knowledge of sources, I think we should all agree that since Torah study is such an important part of our spiritual lives, and we don't like to be selfish, that there'd be nothing wrong, and even probably something adulatory regarding Torah study for Gentiles. It's a wonderful thing. Think about how Torah has enriched all of our lives. Why wouldn't we want to share that? But as we'll see throughout the course of the next 5 weeks, there are restrictions which are put in place, but those restrictions have to be understood. On the practical plane, this is obviously a major issue in terms of publishing and the internet and schools. In a number of weeks, just to foreshadow, we'll read a very classical tshuva of Moshe Feinstein dealing with day schools in which most of the students are Jewish, but not all of the students are Jewish. And teaching Torah to all of the children. You can't throw, in today's day and age, you can't simply throw, a quarter or a fifth of the children out of class, right, of the parents calling you. So what are the halachos which govern that, and what are the hashgafos which underlie that that topic? It's really a fascinating issue. And it really exists between two poles. On the one hand, you have the sense of Tzelem Elokim and our investment, a very serious investment in the spiritual welfare of Tzelem Elokim and making sure that all those who have been created in the image of God, Chaviv Adam Shenev Rebbe Tzelem Elokim, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, have access to spiritual sustenance. On the one hand, and the other hand is Jewish chosenness. We say every day, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim Evinasan Lanu Es Torah. So there is something exclusive about that. At Sinai, the Jewish people received the Torah. Those are the two poles which will frame our discussion. Okay, so let's take a look now at
Can I just ask two questions?
Yeah, sure.
Is this the same Isser? I mean, we know that there's an Isser of a Goy, for example, keeping Shabbos.
Yeah.
So is this the same Isser? Is it a qualitatively different Isser?
Yeah.
And second of all,
so just on that point, it's interesting. It's on its face, you would think about it as maybe related in the sense that Shabbos relates to the chosenness of the Jewish people, Torah relates to the chosenness of the Jewish people, related but not necessarily integrated. The Rambam does integrate them. So the fact that you asked that question is kind of remarkable, because you've already anticipated, but you're not going to get to for at least another week, possibly 2 weeks, depending on how far we can get today. But the Rambam's unique perspective is to integrate those two concepts. They appear very close to each other in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The issue of Shabbos is found on 58b. The issue of Torah study is found at the very, very top of 59a. But there is no, proximity in the Talmud is, not illegal.
I don't know what it means, how we define Torah.
Yeah, so we're going to have to spend like a month. That question will probably take a month to answer, because that's a very complicated question. And it's going to be defined differently. Now, I'm sure that each and every one of you, maybe not on a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly or monthly basis, have been in a position where you've had to explain your practices to Gentiles. Not those who are disrespectful, but those who might be either in a position of having to work with you, and therefore you need to explain certain things that you practice in terms of your schedule and your diet, or people who you have deeper relationships with who may even ask in a more substantive way. And those things are very much part of this discussion. Especially those who are who are employed in other sectors besides Jewish education are going to be exposed to this in a very ongoing way. Okay, so
and
we just jump in with this.
Do we address the jurisdictional issue?
Yeah,
associated with it. At the end of the day, the question of so what jurisdiction do we have over someone who is outside of your community?
Right, 100%. That's always an issue with all the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. Is, let's say you could ask the same question about Abram Minachai, right? We believe that Abram Minachai is defined even more broadly for Gentiles than it is for Jewish people. Like, for example, if an animal has been shechted but it's still seizing, you know, if anybody here has done shechita, right, that's what we call mefar chases. So for a Jew, eating an animal which is mefar chases is an isur daraisa. It's called lo sochal al hadam. Do not eat the animal while the blood of the life is still in there. But it's not Eivor Min HaChai. For a non-Jew, that's defined as Eivor Min HaChai and is an isur misa. So it's more severe in terms of it being defined as Eivor Min HaChai, and it's also as a more severe penalty because all of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach carry with them an isur misa. Now, what's really interesting about that is you can always ask, well, you know, who's going to enforce, right? What about law enforcement? So in the ideal sense, they're self-policing, right? The Rambam's understanding of one of the seven mitzvos is dinim. So the Ramban says dinim means that they have to have a civil code, sort of parallel to Archosh and Mishpat. The Rambam says, no, dinim means that they have to be self-policing, that they have to be able to execute and enforce the other six. So in the ideal sense, they would be enforcing these things, but obviously absent of those enforcement mechanisms, so then we have no ability, and we never have had the ability outside the land of Israel to impose these kinds of things. So that's for certain. Now, in this case, we do have the ability to exert a little bit more control, because from our standpoint, it will affect how much we project our academic pursuits and our Torah pursuits into the broader sphere. Do you want to place recordings on the World Wide Web, or do you want to put them on a website but only give, you know, the members of your synagogue access to the code, or put some other control? So you can exert some measure of control over over this issue. Do you want to go out into Central Park, let's say, and have an open Torah teaching, where anybody can wander in, or do you want to do things in a way that will de facto maintain a kind of insularity? So here you can project a certain amount of instrumental control over the vehicles that you're employing, and again, these issues came up with the advent of publishing in a new way, right? You can imagine that when you're doing it purely as Torah Shebaal Peh, you can exert enormous control over access to information. Publishing less so. Now, language will always be a barrier, but publishing somewhat less so. The internet is not a quantitative leap, it's a qualitative leap in terms of access. Just to... just to tell a humorous vignette before we jump into the sources on this point. So I learned Talmud for a number of years under Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, who's a Talmud scholar at Yeshiva. And so, you know, very, very, very high-level Talmudic analysis, which was only followed by a certain percentage of the Talmudim in the Shiur. So it just so happened that since the Shiurim were posted on the YU Torah, there was a Gentile in Switzerland, a very brilliant man, who was following along, you know, and in just an incredibly deep, he developed an incredibly deep and nuanced understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the YU student newspaper once ran an interview with him, you know, about his motivation for studying. And I'm saying these are the kind of humorous scenarios that come up in today's day and age. And actually, the interesting thing is certain poskim would be very, very taken aback by that kind of an arrangement. But we're you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. So let's take a look at what is a very unlikely source for the beginning.
Sure. When, you know, remember this Val Madonna book collection came out?
Yeah, 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 I remember.
So there was a whole shas there that Henry VIII had, because they were, you know, his people told him that the Jews have this kind of mechanism for divorce, that, you know, they've been able to kind of solve the dilemma of having a divorce, so he ordered, you know, so there's like a brand new
right Talmud
edition shas that he had that,
right.
You know, the fellow who had the collection ended up trading for something else.
Right, so something tells me that Henry VIII, we didn't have to worry about it too much. That probably wasn't learning all that. That's where I heard that. Is that Rabbi Soloveitchik's lecture on Yibum?
Exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kedarko. It was highly entertaining. That's So the psukim say as follows. But this is the psukim in Acharei Mos. These are the psukim which lead into the parsha of Arayos. Okay, so Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor daber el bnei Yisrael ve'amarta lehem ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. Kima'asei eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtem ba lo sasu u'chamasei eretz Kanaan asher ani mibi yitzchem sham ba lo sasu u'bechukoseihem lo seilecho. This is one of the famous iterations of Chukos HaGoyim in the Torah. Mitzrayim is a failed culture, it's a debased culture. Eretz Kanaan, where you're going, there's a debased culture, right? This is all leading into the Arayos. You must be distinct. This is all part of the project of Vayikra, the broader project of Vayikra, which is Kedoshim to you, Sehavi Prushim min ha'Arayos. So, the Jewish people, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, you must be different. Es mishpatai ta'asu, ves chukosai tishmeru l'alechas bahem, ani Hashem lokeichem. So we should all appreciate the contrast which is being developed by the Torah. In other words, ufu chukosai hem lo seilechu, but ves chukosai tishmeru. Right? Don't do their chukos, do mine. Ushmartem es chukosai, once again, chukosai, ha'chukot shali, right, God's law, ves mishpatai asher yaase osam haadam v'chai bahem, that man does and lives through them, ani Hashem, for I am the Lord. So of course this famous pasuk of v'chai bahem is understood by our sages, by Chazal, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Gemara in Yoma, v'chai bahem v'lo sheyamus bahem, that if a Jew is confronted with a situation in which he's being asked to lay down his life, the general, the major key, the dominant theme in our jurisprudence is v'chai bahem v'lo sheyamus bahem, that the mitzvos are meant to enhance life, and therefore if we have to extend life by violating our mitzvos, generally speaking, we do so without hesitation, without any sense of embarrassment. There are exceptions to this, of course, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, Giloy Arayos, if it's a Shas Hashmad, if it's a situation where there will be a Chil Hashem involved, but basically, V'chai Bahem, V'lo Sheyamus Bahem. And again, I hasten to emphasize that the context here is indeed one of creating a demarcation between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. V'chuko Seyhem Lo Seylechu, Kema'a Seyarit Mitzrayim, Kimase Eretz Kanaan, etc. So, what's so fascinating is that the heart of the shiur that we'll have today is an introductory shiur to the concept of Talmud Torah for the nations of the world. Actually, understands this last pasuk of Asher Yahasa Osam HaAdam V'Chai Bahem to be speaking universally, and that's a great irony that it doesn't say Asher Yahasa Osam Yisrael V'chai Bahem, but it says Asher Ya'asa Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. And the irony here is that in the very set of psukim, which is dealing with distinctiveness and uniqueness of the Jewish people, that this should be interpreted more broadly. Of course, by the end of this year, I think we'll come back to have some measure of an appreciation for what exactly the Torah, as understood by Chazal, had in mind. But first we have to look at three distinct traditions. I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we establish the fundamentals, because we're going to be doing 5 weeks of work on this topic. So you have to understand how the topic really only emerges for one of these three traditions of non-Jews and Torah study. The pasuk Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai asher yaase osam haadam v'chai bahem relates to the plane of study or the realm of action. B'pshuto shel mikra. Undoubtedly. So let's take a look at the Sifra. The Sifra is the Torah's Kohanim, the standard Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. Asher Yaase Osam. Hayya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Yirmiya, I should have said Rabbi Yirmiya. That was a Freudian slip, because most Girsos have it as Rabbi Meir, which is a significant topic which we won't enter into, because if it's Rabbi Meir, some complications are raised. That's a question that's posed by the Balei HaTosos in Sanhedrin, in Bava Kamma and many other places. Okay, so Hayya Rabbi Yirmiya Omer, Ata Omer Minayin Afilu Goy Ve'osa Es HaTorah Harehu Kekohen Gadol Talmud Lomar Asher Ya'ase Osam Ha'adam V'Chai Bahem. How do you know if a non-Jew comports himself with the Torah? Osa Es HaTorah, and of course we have to define which Torah. You know, does it mean he takes on all of the mitzvos, a portion of the mitzvos? But here you have a Gentile who would right, follow the law of the Torah. Not so much here about study, but afilu goy ve'oses haTorah, harei hu kekohen gadol. How do I know? Asher ya'aseh osam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. V'chein hu omer, v'zos toras, it doesn't say kohanim levim yisrael lo ne'emar kan, ela v'zos toras ha'adam Hashem Elokim, v'chein hu omer, pischu sha'arim v'yavo, right, it doesn't say kohanim levim yisraelim lo ne'emar, ela v'yavo goy tzadik shomer munim, right? The pasuk says pischu sha'arim v'yavo goy tzadik shomer munim, v'chein hu omer, another example, ze hashar la'ashem, not kohanim levi yisraelim, ela tzadikim yavo uvo, right? We say it in Halal all the time, right? Ze hashar la'ashem, tzadikim yavo uvo, v'chein hu omer, rananu, right? This is what we say every Shabbos morning in Pesukei Dezimra. Kohanim levim Yisraelim lo ne'emar kan, ela rananu tzadikim b'Hashem. V'cheinu omer heitiva Hashem, not l'kohanim levim Yisraelim lo ne'emar kan, ela heitiva Hashem latovim. Ha'afilu goy v'oses haTorah, harehu kekohen gadol. The diok is, asher yasa osam ha'adam, and here the Sifra quotes five or six examples where you have ha'adam, and it's meant to include, or tzadikim, or what, tovim, you know, you don't have kohanim levim yisraelim, and that is the hint, the textual allusion to the idea that what's being referred to is much broader than just the Jewish people. Now, let me just take a 10-second break to point out that, you know, this sifra is crucial because it speaks about how Hashem opens his doors to chol ba'ei olam, not just Jews, but any righteous, any of the tzaddikim, any of the tovim, that this, you know, we are invested in the spiritual welfare of Tzelem Elokim, which is where we started, and that we believe that all sincere people have access to the Almighty. Right? Zeha Shar Lashem Tzadikim Yavo Uvo means Gentiles as well. They can certainly be Tzadikim. The Pasuk, it says, Rananu Tzadikim Bahashem. Right? The Sifra is telling us that means Tzadikim of Jewish and non-Jewish origins. So here you have Ushmartim Eschukosai Ves Mishpatai Asher Yaasa Osam Ha'adam Yvachai Bahem. Chazal understood this to mean that Afilu Goy Ve'oses HaTorah Harehu Kekohen Gadol. He's of, you know, elevated and exalted status, that a Gentile can achieve great spiritual standing from our perspective. This is not a chauvinist religion whatsoever. And so just if we ended the shir here, if we ended the series here, I think it would be an important contribution, because here you see Chazal are very, very open to the idea of, you know, a non-Jew achieving great spiritual stature in this world.
Why do you say Kohen Gadol? That's
interesting. Good. So there's a lot of discussion about that. The simple explanation is that a Kohen Gadol is assumed to be on a high spiritual standing, and that it's what we call it's kind of a rabbinic idiom to demonstrate that this person has achieved spiritual grandeur. The Kohen Gadol is considered to be a very elevated figure. Okay. So that's the first tradition. Of course, there's very little here directly about non-Jews studying Torah. It says a non-Jew who's performing the Torah. Of course, performance on some plane does imply knowledge and familiarity, but this is certainly not any kind of primary text which would give us insight with respect to the parameters of Gentiles and the study of Torah. However, we have a different girsa of the same Mamar Chazal in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as well as the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and it's those that I want to turn to right now. Okay.
And the Sifra is historically at the Mishnaic period?
After. Yeah, I'm Marek. Oh, okay, I thought it was this. I was like, what is... I'm always nervous about these things.
Would it be concurrent with the Gemara?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it's just pieces that haven't been incorporated, or like
sometimes it's the same material. Very often it's the same material.
Same material.
Sometimes there's new other material. Okay, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says as follows: a really fascinating Gemara, and the Gemara appears in Bava Kamma as well with an addendum. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Anybody here know the Agadata that Hashem sort of went to all the nations of the world and offered them the Torah? Okay, so here you have the Gemara. Ad Shabai Tzal Yisrael V'Kibluha. So he came to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people accepted the Torah. Hachi Amri, Klum Kibalnuha V'Lo Kiyamnuha. Okay, So the non-Jews say, well, wait, you know, is it as if that we've accepted the Torah and we haven't fulfilled the Torah? So the Gemara says, but that should be, they're digging in their own grave. So they're saying, oh, we shouldn't be held accountable for not keeping the Torah because we didn't accept the Torah in the first place, but they're digging their own grave because they're highlighting the fact that unlike the Jewish people, they were unwilling to accept the Torah. So no, this is what the non-Jews are saying to Hashem. Ribono shel olam, klum kafis aleinu har kegiges v'lo kibalnua kemo she'asisa liYisrael tichsiv v'yasvu b'tachtis ahar v'amar of dimim berchama melamed shekaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu har kegiges al Yisrael. Right, we just passed through Shavuos. So the non-Jews are saying is that it wasn't a fair... Right, it wasn't fair and balanced. Why? Because the Jews had an advantage in terms of Kabbalah Satorah. What was their advantage? That they had, let's put it this way.
Coercion.
Encouragement. No, we didn't have encouragement, right? We were given a straight choice. They weren't. So, right, so Amar Lahem, right? Hashem said to them, you may have a Satorah Mutah, you may have a Shamtek Vuraschem. So in any event, Miyad Omer Lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harishonos Yashmi'unu. Yeah. Well, that would have been a nice argument, but we can all tell where things would have gone. Shene'emar, v'rishonos yashmiyunu, sheva mitzvah shekibaltem, heichan kiyamtem. You know, we can all know what you would have done with Taryag mitzvahs based on how you treated the first seven. Because the first seven that you did accept, you never fulfilled. Uminalan de lo kiyamum, how do we know that the non-Jews didn't really accept those, or didn't really practice those? The Tani of Yosef, Amar vayimodet eretz rava yeser goyim, pasuk in Chabakuk, my ra'a sheva mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'nei noach, v'lo kiyamum, that the non-Jews, whereas they gave lip service to accepting the seven Noahide laws, they never practiced them. Okay, that's the rabbinic tradition. Kevan shelo kiyamum, amad v'hitir ad lahem. So now here comes the shocking part of the Gemara. So Hashem saw, once they didn't actually keep the laws, Hashem released them. So the non-Jews are not really bound by the seven laws, according to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, isgure, isgur? Should they really benefit just because they didn't, accept them in practice? So Hashem should release them de jure? Do we normally say that those who violate should be rewarded? Imkein, matzinu chote niskar?
What itgure means what?
Reward. Like lufum tzara agra. So, reward. So, imkein, matzinu chote niskar. Right, that would be a violation of our principles that we never like to reward those who have been derelict. So, amar mar brei d'ravina v'atanya r'meir omer. And now the Gemara challenges. Minai in shefilu ovid kochavim v'osek batara shuki kohen gadol. Tam lomar asher yasa osam adam v'chai bahem. Kohanim levim v'israelim lo nemar ala ha'adam. Halamata shefilu ovid kochavim v'osek batara. Hareyu kikohen gadol. The Gemara asks a second question. Forget about this issue of chote niskar. But we seem to have definitive proof that they actually do keep... Right, they are obligated to keep the Sheva Mitzvos. How do I know? Because the Pasuk says, Asher Ya'asa Osam Ha'adam B'chai Bahem. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Ne'amar Ela Ha'adam. And what's the Girsa here? Halamanta Shafilu Oved Kochavim Ve'osek B'Torah. Osek is more than just lomed. It means immersion, right? La'asok B'divrei Torah. Osek B'mitzvah. Pasur Mina Mitzvah. Osek means deep involvement. So Ovei Kochavim, this is not Oses HaTorah, as we saw the first time, a plane of action, but the Pasuk here is being understood to relate to the realm of study, the dimension of study and intensive study at that. So let's just take a step back to appreciate what question the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is saying, we know that they have to be obligated on some level in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. How do I know? Because they're rewarded for the study of Torah.
I don't really get the connection.
Yeah, that's a very funny connection because we seem to be mixing.
It seems to me irrelevant to the. It's not answering the question. The question was, how were they? They're being rewarded for not performing. So then we have a proof text saying that if they perform something, they get a reward.
Well, not necessarily perform, but study.
Right.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a major diak. I want to make a diak about this in a few weeks. But we're going to hang on to this Gemara. This Gemara seems to assume the following connection, that by virtue of the fact that they have some concept of study,
right,
that would by definition imply action, even though we know that those are two different realms. So for the realm of the Gentile, right here the Gemara is making a very important assumption that study and action are linked, and that if you want to prove that they are obligated on some level in action, all you have to do is to demonstrate that they have a concept of study. Now, we're going to really appreciate that in a few weeks' time, but that leap is not necessarily, that could be one of the major distinctions between Jewish and non-Jewish learning. It's pragmatic orientation, a connection between study and action, and Torah Lishma, as we would call it. Yes, Mark, please.
So you're saying that clearly for Jewish learning, there is this notion of learning purely for the sake of learning.
We're gonna see how, in many ways, the concept of Torah Lishma might indeed, even if we adopt a more maximal perspective with respect to what non-Jews can learn, not all Rishonim are going to subscribe to this, but I think what we're going to see is, just one second, Daddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Sorry. Hey, Dad, I'm just giving a shiur right now. Can I call you back after?
Love you.
Love you, bye-bye. Okay, sorry about that. So, you're going to see that not every Rishon is going to subscribe to this, but that the notion of study for its own sake might be restricted to the Jewish realm. So it's going to be, we're obviously getting ahead of ourselves, but this is just one, I wouldn't have even raised it, but Jacob made a very good diak in the Gemara. So that Gemara is going to be very important for our purposes.
So there's a famous dictum suggesting that if you have a choice of doing a mitzvah or continuing to learn, you know, what do you do? Do you continue the mitzvah of learning, or do you go after and do
right.
and do the mitzvah? So presumably that concept would be a distinction based on what you described.
Quite so. Very, very good. And many other such topics. So we're just getting our feet wet here, but let's raise that as an issue, is that if there is a concept of study for the Gentile, it might be much more pragmatically instrumentally oriented for the purposes of mastering a certain set of behaviors. Whereas for the Jew, of course, lilmod amanas la, so certainly we learn so that we can perform better, lo amharetz chasid. But on the other hand, Talmud Torah might be the apex of our religious experience. Just to put a very controversial idea out there, but one that I subscribe to in part, which is that often we think about learning as meant to enhance our action, but I tend to see things to a great extent from the opposite perspective, is that we are given actions for the sake of sharpening and crystallizing our intellectual comprehension of certain concepts and making it more real for us, but that the primary religious experience is in the mind. Is that to come to a certain place in your mind, a certain sense of communion. I don't mean this in a very esoteric sense, but a certain sense of interaction with God. I take that perspective in a variety of different places, because I think the locus of human experience is in the brain, is in the mind. All of life we experience in our mind, even the carnal pleasures we experience as pleasures because of things that are happening in our brain, right? A person who does not have brain activity will not experience those things. So the brain is the locus of human existence, and as such, the realm of study became incredibly important for our tradition. Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot more to say about that, but that might be one of the major distinctions here. Okay, so, but what I'm really interested in on the surface level is here, you have the same pasuk and the same Mamar Chazal, but with a crucial difference, right? The Sifra had it as, right, Goy She'ose Es HaTorah, he is compliant with the, right, with the Torah in practice. And that fits in with the pasuk of Asher Ya'ase Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem, the language is Asiya, but here, the Gemara is suggesting that if a non-Jew should study the Torah, not just study the Torah, but immerse himself in the Torah, that is, he achieves the status of the Kohen Gadol. So you see, it's the same Mamar Chazal, but there's a big question of who is the one who's like the Kohen Gadol. According to the Sifra, it's the one who is Oses HaTorah. According to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's the one who is Osek BaTorah. In any event, so the Gemara resolves itself here. Ela lomer lecha she'en mekabim aleihem schar kemitzuva v'yose lo kemi she'eno mitzuva v'yose. Damar Rabbi Chanina Gadol ha'mitzuva v'yose yoser mi she'eno mitzuva v'yose. The conclusion of the Gemara is that the non-Jews are obligated in some measure in the seven mitzvos, right? Right, but that they're sort of knocked down a level. Instead of being those who are mitzuveh v'yose, they're kemisha eno mitzuveh v'yose. They have to do it, but the reward that they would get for doing it is the reward as if they were volunteering to do it. Okay, so that's that's a very fascinating topic in its own right, is that what's the standing of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach? So according to Gemara, they are obligated, but they don't get rewarded like they would have had they really taken them seriously from the beginning. Okay, so here you have the exact same sugya in Avodah Zarah and Bava Kamma, but the Gemara in Bava Kamma has an addendum. So you see, this is the fourth source from Tanu Rabbanan. From Amar Rav Yosef to Mimi She'eno Mitzuva V'Yosa is exactly the same Gemara, where it darshans the pasuk of Asher Yaso Osam Adam B'chai Bahem to be Goy She'osek B'Torah. And again, it sounds like if you only had these Gemaras and I asked you, should a non-Jew study Torah? The answer should be an unequivocal yes. And not only should they, but they'll be like the Kohen Gadol if they do. So Tanu Rabbanan, here you have yet another important Gemara discussed at great length by the Rishonim. Ukvar shalcha malchus romi shnei sradiotos, two officers, etzel chachmei Israel, and they said, limdunu terascham, teach us your Torah. So karu vishanu vishalshu, they learned and they repeated and they trifectized. Right, they did it three times. Okay, that's obviously not a word. According to the Yerushalmi, it says that they had Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, that they learned different areas. Bishas p'tirasan, so when they were finishing up this little study course, Amru lahem, dikdaknu b'chol toraschan. These two Romans said, we studied your whole Torah, ve'emesu. Ma mishemes. The whole thing. Chutz midavar zeh she'atem omrim. The one thing that we've taken issue with is Shor shel Yisrael shenagach Shor shel Kanani pater, that the Jew whose ox gores the ox of the Canaanite will be absolved from any liability. Shel Kanani shenagach Shor shel Yisrael. But the opposite scenario, bein tam bein muad, whether the animal was a recidivit or not, mishalim nezek shalim, they're liable for full damages. So miman of shach. If you'll say that, because the pasuk says ish ki gach shor re'ehu, so then it should go in both directions. So even in the shore of a Canaanite who gores a Jew, so let him be absolved from any damages, and then you can have it the other way, right? V'ireehu lav dafka. But if re'ehu doesn't only mean within the Jewish people, afilu d'Israel ki nagach tiknani l'chayiv, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So the way that the Bali Tosos understand the line in the Gemara is they say, look, we're not going to report this to the Roman authorities because this would be very incendiary if they found out that your legal code, required. We obviously don't paskin this way, halacha, for reasons of Chilal Hashem, but on the books, there would be a distinction between Shor Shel Yisrael and Shor Shel Kanani. So it's really interesting here, and the various Rishonim comment on this Gemara is that what's going on here in this Agadita? Who's teaching who Torah? Chachmei Yisrael are teaching Torah to Gentiles, to Romans. So, wait a minute. What are our feelings about that? So this, without any Rishonim, we're going to take a look at the Rishonim next week, but, if you only had the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and you only had this Gemara in Bava Kamma, which suggests, again, afilu nachri v'osek b'torah reyuka kohen gadol, you'd get a very favorable impression. And here you have the two Roman officers coming to study Torah, and it seems that the sages teach them, and teach them very well. They learned the whole Torah. They were even able to make a diukim by the end. And they said, yeah, but we don't understand this whole business of how you're darshaning re'ehu. Because v'chigach shor ish es re'ehu, it should be consistent about it. How does it go both ways? Yeah.
And one could suggest even from this that what they're saying is really no different from a Habdiel, a Beit Shammai, and a Beit Hillel argument.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So clearly, these Gemaras, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, are without any hesitation tell us, Asher Ya'asa Osam Hadnavachai Bahem Goy She'osek B'Torah Harehu Kekohen Gadol. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Sugya in Sanhedrin, alters the picture dramatically. So whether, and many Rishonim do, if a Rishon should read Avodah Zarah and Bava Kamma in light of the Gemara which we're about to see in Sanhedrin, that would change the picture considerably. So take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nachri She'osek B'Torah, which is exactly the line that we had in Avodah Zarah and Bava Kamma, Nachri She'osek B'Torah, Harehu Kekohen Gadol. Here he says, Nachri She'osek B'Torah, Chayev Misa. Not only is it prohibited, but it's a capital offense. Shenemar Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha, lanu morasha v'lo lahem. V'lech sheve gabe sheve mitzvot. So if it's really prohibited, why isn't it on the list of seven? So manda amar morasha, if you take the drasha of morasha, lanu morasha v'lo lahem, migzal kagazala, then it falls under the broader category of stealing, of gzela, because the Torah is a proprietary province of the Jewish people, and those who would trespass on that are stealing. Amanda amar mu'urasa, those who darshan morasha is mu'urasa. The Gemara in Pesachim on Memtes says that somebody who studies Torah in front of an Amharetz, in front of someone who is unlettered, is because he's boel arusa b'fanav, it's as if he is copulating with his betrothed in front of this Amharetz. Why we use that expression is whole topic in his own right, but the simple drasha is morasha mu'urasa. Mu'urasa means betrothed, so debiskila. In any event, there are two possibilities here, and there can be many nafkamina how we paskin, what the violation is. So everybody's going to agree that Torah study for non-Jews falls under one of the Sheva Mitzvot. It's either stealing or giloy arayos. So we've come a full 180 degrees. Goyish osik b'Torah reyu kekohen gadol, according to the sugya in Avodah Zarah, and the sugya in Baba Kama, Goyish osik b'Torah chayav misa, according to Rabbi Yochanan. As my grandmother would say, good grechter.
What?
Good grechter is what she says. That's her version of good grief. Okay, good grechter. Right? How do we, this is a dramatic departure. Okay, so, obviously we're going to have to investigate in the weeks ahead what's the difference between arayos and gezel in this context. In any event, the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? So, you can't get a bigger stira than that. Nachri v'osek b'torah harayu kekohen gadol. Nachri v'osek b'torah harayu chayev misa. So the Gemara responds, Hasam b'sheva mitzvos didhu. That it all depends what they're studying. Within the sheva mitzvos, Nachri osek b'torah harayu kekohen gadol. Outside of the sheva mitzvos, Nachri v'osek b'torah harayu chayev misa. Now, for what makor that we saw, is this Gemara not a problem at all? The Sifra. Because what did the Sifra say? The Sifra didn't say there was any concept of study. It said, Asher Yaso Samadam V'chai Bahem means Nachri V'osa Satorah. It didn't say that they have any access to study. So it's perfectly compatible with Rabbi Yochanan's Maimar of Nachri She'osik V'torah Chayiv Misa. If there's Osa Satorah, right? If somebody tells him what the laws are and he simply goes and practices them, so wonderful, then he's Harei Kekohen Gadol. And you could resolve this perfectly. In other words, that would be a dramatic expression, the idea that we alluded to before, that for non-Jews, the real idea is, okay, they should be compliant, at least with their Sheva Mitzvos, maybe even outside of their Sheva Mitzvos. We'll explore that idea further. But study is for the Jewish people, and we're very serious about that. So once they trespass from the realm of action into study, we lay the gauntlet and we say, Chayav Misa. Now, there is a third tradition within Chazal. Yeah, Mark, please, go ahead.
So that would, in theory, create this interesting impossibility of Geirus.
Good. So let's take a look now. Very, very good. Very, very good. What Mark is saying is that, but if they can't study, how would they ever be Misgayer? Okay, so by the way, this is a huge debate in the post-game. Mark, you can have such a deep appreciation of this in 2 and 3 weeks, because we're going to focus heavily on these sugyas. Rabbi Kiv Eger took that position, the halacha. Rabbi Kiv Eger was very strict about teaching Torah to Gentiles, even in the context of conversion. All the other Rishonim and post-game are much more flexible. After all, the Gemara and Yivamos, we just had Rus together, darshins, the pasuk of, Basher Telchi Eleich, Visham Ekaver, that Naomi was teaching her the halachos of Tchum Shabbos. Naomi was teaching her the halachos of Arba Kvuros Yesh L'Sanhedrin. So the dominant strand within Chazal, within our tradition, is clearly that in the context of Geirus, the matter has changed considerably. But take a look here at it's a perfect segue to the third and final strand within Chazal. So we saw two possibilities. Who's Kekohen Gadol? One is Goy She'oses HaTorah, the action realm. One is Goy She'osek BaTorah. And then, of course, we had the problem with the Maimer of Rabbi Yochanan of Goy She'osek BaTorah Chayiv Misa. So then we had to say, oh, there's a difference between Sheva Mitzvos and not Sheva Mitzvos. Let's take a look at a third tradition. This is the tradition of the Medrash Rav and the Medrash Tanchuma. Lama Nisna, it's actually beautiful. Really nice. Lama nisna haTorah b'midbar. Why was the Torah given in the midbar? If we have some time at the end, I can't wait to tell you. I posed this question in the groups this Shabbos, and I got the most beautiful answers from the kids in the shul. Such nice answers. Lama nisna haTorah b'midbar. Lomar ma haMidbar mufkar l'chol b'nei Adam afdivrei Torah mufkar in l'chol mishiyur to lamid. Lomod rather shelo yeyadam omer ani ben Torah v'Torah nisuna li lavosai ve'atav yavosecha lo ha'isim b'nei Torah el avosecha gerim hayum. So I love this line. That because this is not an aristocracy. You know why the Torah is given in the Midbar? It's just like the Midbar is, right, open to all. So too, Torah is open to all. Don't you dare say, oh, I'm from a Rabbanisha family, I'm from, you're not, Torah is mine, it's not yours. That's evil. That's why the Torah is given the Midbar. Hashem wanted to make the point that for all generations, Torah is like the Midbar. Okay, very nice. As the pasuk says, Morasha kihilas Yaakov, v'chol mi shemiskahel b'Yaakov. Anybody who joins up with the kahal of the Jewish people, afilu hagerim she'oskin b'Torah, shkulim heim k'kohen gadol shenemar asher yasa osam ha'adam b'chai b'hem, ani Hashem lokechem kohen levi Yisrael lo nemar ela adam lefikach Torah achas u'mishpat echad yeh. Wow. So how does this tradition within Chazal understand asher yasa osam ha'adam b'chai b'hem? Nothing to do with goy ve'osek b'Torah, but Ger ve'osek b'Torah, right? The person who was a Gentile. There's nothing about Gentiles studying Torah as Gentiles. What it means is either in the process of conversion or after they've converted. So their Torah is not one iota less worthy or worthwhile than the Torah of a naturally born Jew. And likewise in Bamidbar Rabbah, par echad ben bakar keneged kohanim, ayel echad keneged levim, keves echad keneged Yisrael, shekulam kiblu as haTorah b'Sinai, sir izim echad lechatas keneged hagerim she'asidim liskayer. Vishayu sham shekulam ruuyim shenemar asher yasa osam adam v'chay bahem kohanim levim yisraelim lo nemar ela ha adam melamed shafilu obi kochavim hamizgayer ve'osek b'Torah harehu kikohen gadol. Here it's even more clear that the reference is to non-Jews who have already converted. That's what the inclusion of the pasuk is asher yasa osam ha'adam. So let's review. We have a pasuk which Chazal understood is marbe even non-Jews asher yasa osam ha'adam, not just Jewish people, kohanim v'im v'israelim lo nemar, ela ha'adam, melamed one of three things. And only one of the three traditions is going to support this idea of non-Jews studying the Torah. Right? One of them we'll talk about, right, the one that has least to do with it is Geirim. You say, okay, so once a person is misgayer, of course his Torah study is worthwhile. And the other tradition, which is more or less along those lines, is even a person's a goy, but he's osa es haTorah, he's not studying Torah, but he practices the Torah, right? So then, asher yasa osam adam v'chai bem. And frankly, based on the context that we started with, these readings are appealing because, you know, the whole context here is the distinction between the Jewish people and the Gentiles, the Isser of Chukos Agayim. So this last reading that we saw, which is that this is talking about people who started off as non-Jews, but who have been misgayer, makes perfect sense, because the whole context here is the difference between the Jews and the nations. So that the fact that we should have a drasha which expands it beyond that in this context is very surprising. But there is this third tradition that we saw, which is asher yasa osam adam v'chai b'hem, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Avodah Kama say, means malamid shafilu goy ve'osek b'Torah, hareuke kohen gadol. The Gemara in Sanhedrin was scandalized by it, because you have a maimer for Yochanan, which said that not only should it not be done, but it's a chiyuv misa, morasha kilas Yaakov, it's either migzal kagazola, or it's mu'urasa, it's a din in giloy arayus. So we said, Sheva mitzvos versus outside of the Sheva mitzvos. So you have an incredible spectrum within Chazal. Okay. So let me just introduce one final source for the day. A celebrated Gemara in the Chagiga, which has to be, which we're going to have to put in dialogue with all the other Makoros that we saw, especially the Gemara in the Sanhedrin. And then we'll summarize and wrap up for the day. So the Gemara in the Chagiga says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami taught the following. Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah. How would you translate Sisrei Torah? Yeah, the like the hidden things of the Torah. And Mosrin means to, it's not just to teach, but Mosrin means to hand over. Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah l'misha yesh bo chamisha dvarim. Sar chamishim, he's a leader of the 50. What this means, the Gemara goes on to explain. Unesu fanim, he is I'll just leave that untranslated for a second, V'yoetz, he's of counsel, as they say in the the legal world. V'chacham charashim, and he's wise to the whispers. V'navon lachash, and he, again, he's insightful in all these very mystical ways. So, in other words, you can't just willy-nilly teach the secret of the Torah. Rashi says, Masa Mirkava, we just read it on Shavuos, Masa Bereishis, you know, all the esoteric sections of the Torah, unless somebody is really on the level that's appropriate. V'amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrin, not Sisrei Torah, but Divrei Torah L'Nachri. So here you have to define three things. What is mosrin? Does mosrin mean you can't teach? Is it the same as melamdin? What are divrei Torah? Should we understand divrei Torah in the context here of the Gemara and Chagiga of sisrei Torah? Or do you say, no, the fact that they're together and it uses a different term is meant to highlight the contrast? It's dafka, not sisrei Torah. It's just divrei Torah. It's even plain old divrei Torah.
That would be problematic because it would seem to exclude most Jews from as well, because not all Jews are Safamishim and they're not super.
Oh yeah, that would be true. But right. But that if it depends how you learn, meaning you wouldn't learn that would certainly be limited to Sisrei Torah. Then the question is, are Divrei Torah yet another way of saying Sisrei Torah, or is it meant to be contrasted? So that's exactly the issue. And then what is Nachri? Does Nachri mean any Gentile? Does it mean a pagan? You know, and what? So you're gonna have to define all three of these terms: Mesira, Divrei Torah, Nachri. But again, here the Gemara and Chagiga would seem to say, if you want to understand it very expansively, that you shouldn't teach Torah to non-Jews. We're going to do much, 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 much more in terms of analysis of this. So, obviously, simplifying outrageously at this stage. But the Gemara here is saying, and that's based on a pasuk of Lo Asachin L'Chol Goyim Mishpatim Bal Yedom. So we're going to take a look at the Tosus here. Tosus just raises the obvious question. Tosus says, well, what do you mean? Why are you bringing this pasuk from Tehillim? Just say, it's Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. There is a concept of Lifnei Iver, of causing a non-Jew to sin. And didn't the Gemara in Sanhedrin say that? It's a terrible sin. It's a Chi of Misa. So who needs another pasuk? Just say, of course you can't teach them Torah, but teaching them Torah is, you know, causing them to be over a chi of Misa. So, Bale Tosos answer, oh yeah, but this would be even in the case where technically Lifnei Iver wouldn't apply. We'll see it inside. The Rush answers, oh yeah, you could have said that, but we just wanted to bring another pasuk. But of course, there'd be another answer, which is that, no, this is talking about even within their Sheva Mitzvos, is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin said that they should study within their Sheva Mitzvos, and if they do so, they're like a Kohen Gadol, but maybe we shouldn't help them get there. That would be quite a shocking reading of the Gemara in Chagiga. So you see that there's so much to learn here. So just to review everything we saw Asher Yasa Osama Adam V'chaya Bahem, and three traditions within Chazal of what the expansion is. Ha'adam lo ne'amar kohanim levim v'yisraelim ela ha'adam. So who is like a Kohen Gadol? According to the Sifra, it's mi she'ose es ha'Torah, goy she'ose es ha'Torah. Of course, asiyah implies some level of familiarity, but certainly not osik ba'Torah, which was the tradition of the Gemara in Bava Kamma and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that a non-Jew should study the Torah and immerse himself in the Torah, and if he does, Harei Yukei Kohen Gadol. And then you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which limited that to the Sheva Mitzvos. On the other hand, you had a tradition within the Medrash Rab and the Medrash Tanchuma that says this has nothing to do with Gentiles. This only has to do with people who started off as Gentiles, but we're really talking about Geirim here. And that, of course, fits in the best with the context of the Psukim, because the Psukim are talking about, you know, the differences between the Jews and the nations. And then you have this final Gemara in Chagiga, which said that there's an Isser Mesira. You have to define that very carefully. Of Divrei Torah, you have to define that very carefully. To a Nachri, to define that very carefully. So, of course, we're going to have to follow up on all of these points. So let me just make mention of one thing in conclusion. I started off with the idea that, you know, we are invested in the Tzalem Elokim. The Sifra speaks, you know, Zeh Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavauvo. Tzadikim, not talking about Jewish tzadikim, all people of the world. And now, just to go back to the, you know, most of the traditions within Chazal who really do understand, Ushmartim ischukosai ves mishpatai asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai b'hem, not the tradition that it's a ger, but that it's a tradition that it's really a non-Jew. And then something really beautiful emerges, and with this we'll conclude. That yes, it's true, the Psukim here are talking about how the Jewish people should be different than the Egyptians and different than the Canaanites as well. So it's a bit ironic that we would have a Pasuk in this section which is teaching us something about the Gentiles. But this is exactly what the Torah is saying, according to those traditions within Chazal, that other non-Jews as well should aspire to more than the Egyptians and the Canaanites. Ushmartim eschukosai ve'es mishpatai asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bahem, that Hashem's aspiration is indeed, certainly the Jewish people are held to the highest standard of being distinct from the Egyptians and the Canaanites, but Hashem's aspirations is that all his children should want more than the failed culture of the Canaanites and the Egyptians, and that even while Hashem is, certainly separating the Jewish people from that debased culture, Ushmartim eschukosav mishpatai asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bahem, Chazal saw in that a charge which was universal, and that Hashem hasn't surrendered his aspirations for the whole world. Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so. Okay, so we're going to pick it up there next week.